This is Doug Miller. Ready to talk about a little communism? Stick around. We'll talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back once more, Bible in hand, and ready to look at a passage of Scripture that many of you will find rather confusing, perhaps, or maybe you won't. But at any rate, I think you'll all find it very interesting. Fifth chapter of Acts. And we'll begin with verse 1 today and even make reference back to some of the things we talked about last week from verse 4. Those of you who were listening last week will remember that at the end of verse 4, we got into something that some people out there at least have tried to use to promote communism or socialism of some sort. This idea that the apostles and the early believers of the church in that day in Jerusalem, we're back at the very early or mid-first century, had everything in common, sold everything, put it into a common pot, and had all things in common. And some have tried to use this to teach some form of communalism or communism or what have you, and they are dead wrong, and I think you'll see why once we get into this a little better. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in with you, this fifth chapter of Acts. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists for the purpose of seeing this word go out. That's it. That's what we do. What a blessing it has been to us, and how gracious the Lord has been to put us into this kind of ministry. I hope you're praying for us. I beg of you, write down Dialogue and pray and tell others about us, because as I've said many times, we cannot exist at all unless we have your support. Okay, we'd love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. And we, of course, I say we'd like to hear from you. We are more than happy to help you out any way that we can. Recordings of these broadcasts are free. And we also, just any way we can help you. Answer any questions you have. I've got this other announcement that I've been making, and we will continue to make this one from now on up through April 16th, or up through at least the broadcast on April the 19th, because we have this seminar that is going on April 16th, which is a Saturday, at Camp Klassen down near Davis in the beautiful Arbuckle Mountains. Easy place to get to. And this seminar will begin at 10 o'clock in the morning on April 16th, and it will just be a one-day seminar. It will end at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's free. We will have a noon meal. And the subject of the seminar is, are we living in the end times? How close are we to the end? Very close. Mark Hitchcock and I, and Mark is the pastor at Faith Bible Church in Edmond, and he's got an international ministry in this business prophecy. Me, I'll be coming along humbly with my little pop gun to, you know, fire off against his big siege guns. But nevertheless, we will be there ministering that day. It's a one-day seminar, and all you have to do is show up, and we just urge you to come. You go down to the, if you're going from Oklahoma City or from any place north of Davis, take I-35, go down to the Turner Falls exit. And when you exit, don't go right toward Turner Falls, go left back across the highway and follow the signs. And you will go directly to Camp Klassen and to the lodge, and that's where we'll be, right on the lake. This is a time of, this will be a time of great blessing and an exciting time, and you will go away looking up and waiting for the coming of the Lord. Now, we need to hear from you on this. This is the reason I'm taking so much time. We are going to have a meal down there, free of charge, but we need to know how many are coming so we can prepare this meal. So I want to give you a telephone number here, and you can call this. If you're calling from outside the 405 area code area, you will dial 405. From within that area, you don't have to dial that. But the number, 405-568-5048, and you will hear me say, this is Doug Miller, and so on and so forth, and just leave a message. We need to know, not your name necessarily, although that'd be fine, but we need to know the number that you're coming. We need to know this so we can prepare this meal, okay? Or you can email us at dialogue, D-I-A-L-O-G-U-E, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, at sbcglobal.net. You can email us. And incidentally, you can always email us at that and ask questions or make comments or whatever. But email us and let us know the number of people that you are coming, bringing, rather. Or you can write us, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. But we must know the number that you are bringing. Now, if you don't want to eat the noon meal with us, you can go into Davis during the lunch and eat in there, and that'll be fine, too. But please let us know, and please show up. You will be blessed, I guarantee. Okay, that's April 16, 10 a.m. in the morning at the lodge at Camp Klassen. All right, let's get back into this communism business now. A lot of people read the end of chapter 4 of Acts or the end of chapter 2 of Acts, and they see in this communism. I say a lot of people. I don't know that it's a lot. Probably not a lot, but certainly more than need to. All of you out there are familiar with communism or socialism, and this has absolutely wrought havoc in the world today. There are so many out there who, for whatever reason, think that the answer to all our problems is to just abolish private property and all get together and put everything in the common pot. And this won't work. I am telling you right now, it has never worked and it's never going to work. I can remember, you may have heard me mention this on here before, my favorite author is a man named Jack London. I love Jack London's writings. I think he's one of the most underrated of all our authors. He's a great American writer. But Jack London was a socialist, and he was a radical socialist. And he wrote one time, and he said this, and this is almost a verbatim quote. He said this in one of the essays that he wrote. He said, if my brother is weaker than I am, he has not sinned thereby. Why should he go hungry, he and his sinless little ones? He said, the work of 10 men can feed 100. There is room, there is food and shelter and clothing enough for all. Therefore, let all have food and shelter and clothing. That sounds right, doesn't it? Wow, that just sounds right. It sounds so neat and warm and fuzzy, but it's wrong. And even my favorite author shows how fuzzy his thinking can be sometimes. You know what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that is that human nature is what it is. Now, the socialists and communists out there have never been able to understand that people are not basically good. They are basically evil, and they are basically sinful. because of the fall. And the problem with Jack London's little theory out there is, where are you going to find the 10 men who are willing to work to feed the other 90? Because we have seen it over and over again. In these communist societies, you know what you get? You get a bunch of loafers and bums who won't work, but they'll sit around and live off the work and labor and sweat of others. And finally, what do you have to do? Someone, the government, has to come in with a club and make people work. And communist societies have failed and failed and failed. Now, this won't work. And therefore, why would anyone think that, I mean, is God mistaken here? Is God telling us to do this? That's not what he's telling us to do here at all. The fact that this early church in Jerusalem did this does not mean that it is universally proscribed for all of the churches. And if it were, we would have it in the letters of the apostles and in the apostolic writing, and we don't have anything like that. As a matter of fact, Paul wrote, if any man will not work, let him not eat. That's the end of the story. And for those of you who are out there, you know, trying to live off the labor of other people and somehow think that someone owes you something, shame on you. Shame on you. You know, if you go hungry, I have no, I have nothing to say to you other than it serves you right. Go hungry. But your family is going to suffer and your little ones are going to suffer, and this is not God's will. If you are out there and you are willing to live this kind of life, I've got a Bible verse for you. 1 Timothy 5:8, if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Men, gird up your loins and be a man. And get out there and support your family and take care of them. You don't throw your family back on the church to take care of. And some of you men out there who, I mean, you may have fathered children and you don't even know who or where they are. You may have fathered them out of wedlock. Shame on you. Shame on you. You know, this is evil and wicked unspeakably. And you think you're some kind of a man because you can father a child? That's not manhood. That's sheer wickedness and evil. You support your family. That's not what God is doing here at all. Well, you say, what is God doing? That's how they did it there in Jerusalem. Yes, they did it in Jerusalem, and it was a unique situation. And let me tell you what I see in this. Not many days hence, this was written and this was taking place about 33, 34, 35 A.D., in about another 30 or 35 years, Jerusalem was going to be utterly destroyed. Utterly destroyed. The temple was going to be torn down and sacked and burned. The houses were going to be destroyed. Jerusalem was going to be laid in heaps and in ruins. And God knew that. Of course, the Lord Jesus had predicted it. But God knew what was going to happen. And for his people, I want you to see how wonderfully he made provision for them. You know what they did? They didn't know why they were doing it exactly, except out of love for one another and feeling the unity that they had in the Spirit. When that date came in 70 A.D., none of the Christians lost anything. You know why? Because they had sold everything already. They had sold out. They owned nothing in Jerusalem. And a few chapters later on, we're going to see that they were scattered and dispersed by persecution. So they got out of there. They may not have liked it, but God not only had them, you know, sell their goods and get rid of it, he also scattered them out of there. And when Jerusalem fell and was burned and destroyed, none of the Christians was hurt by that. Because God, in his divine wisdom, he saw it coming. And he got them to divest themselves of their goods and to move them out. Now, that's what I see in this. And, you know, God's hand was in it, but it was in it for a very select number of people in a particular place and in a particular time. And to take this and try to, you know, make it work for all Christians at all time is just sheerly foolish and silly. And let me give you a good piece of advice and a good sound way to read the scriptures. Anytime you see something and you're saying, well, this is how we ought to be doing it today, ask yourself a question, or three questions, really. One, did the Lord Jesus teach it? Two, did the church in Acts practice it? Three, did the apostles affirm it and write about it? Okay? Now, those are the three questions you want to ask. Did the Lord Jesus teach communism? No, he didn't. He didn't. He did. He taught sharing. He taught giving, you know, your goods away to the poor and following him. If that's, you know, putting him first and the kingdom of God first. But he didn't teach communism. He didn't teach anything like that. Did the church in Acts do this? Only in the early chapters of Acts. You will look in vain for anything like this going on in the remaining part of Acts. Did the apostles write about it? They did not. Therefore, for those of you who are out there preaching and teaching some kind of communism and trying to sell this idea by pointing to the book of Acts, you're way off base. And for those of you who are living out there and you are working hard and you do own things and they are yours and you have them for yourself, I don't see anything to, there's no reason for you to condemn yourself about that. You're not doing anything wrong. But let me show you where you would be doing something wrong. And let's get into chapter 5 of Acts. Verse 1, and let's see how it's going. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, we saw Barnabas earlier, back at the end of chapter 4, he put the whole value of the land he sold at the apostles' feet. He gave it up. But here are individuals who were lying to the Lord. Now, friends, you don't want to do this. And you don't want to lie to people about who or what you are or what you are doing and try to cover it up. Because the Lord knows if they don't know. Now, I don't personally have Peter's insight here. You can come and lie to me and you can get away with it for a while because I don't know. I don't have Peter's insight, and I don't have the gifts that Peter had at that time. And there were things that these apostles knew and did at this time that we just don't have them being done now. But look at this. Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Was Ananias selfish? Yes, he was. But that wasn't his real problem. Ananias's problem was that he was a liar. Ananias's problem was not that he was just a liar, but Peter makes it clear he was lying to the Lord. He thought that God did not know his heart and did not know what he was doing, and he was willing to come and lie and be a hypocrite about it. He would have been better off to come down and say, look, I sold the land for this, and I'm going to give you part of it, but I need to keep this for another reason, and here you can have this. Would the result have been what it was? I don't think so. I think that the problem here, he might have been condemned. Peter might have condemned him. And he would have suffered loss later on. But if he'd been honest, I don't think what happened would have happened. Let's read about it here. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. I mean, he died on the spot. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, When his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, and Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Right in it with her husband Ananias. A conspiracy to lie and pretend that she and her husband were something they were not, and to lie. She said, yeah. Then Peter said, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, and found her dead, and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Now this whole passage is one that may be difficult for some of us to deal with, and I'll admit it's a little difficult for me. If you lie to me right now, even if I know you're lying to me, I'm not going to pray that God will kill you. What I'll pray is that God will give you space to repent and that you will stop behaving the way you're behaving. And you might say, well, once again, it is very easy to take this portion of the book of Acts and try to project it on the church today. And people do that all the time and get in a lot of trouble because of trying to make the things that happened in the book of Acts fit today's situation and time and place. And maybe they do and maybe they don't, but you've got to be careful with this. As I've said once again, I will now repeat, and we will see it again and again in the book of Acts. In Acts, we have a transition period. We are passing out of the dispensation of law into the dispensation of grace. We are passing out of a dispensation in which God was dealing with Israel, and all of his dealings centered in on the people and of Israel and on Jerusalem. And we are passing into a new time and a new era in which God is going to begin saving people in a different way by the proclamation of a gospel that didn't even exist prior to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. At least it didn't. Now, don't misunderstand me here. By grace through faith is how people were always saved in any time and place. And it was by and through Jesus Christ, even though his death was yet future. But no one knew to proclaim that until after it was done. And no one in Jerusalem knew at this time that God was going to go out to the Gentiles and start saving Gentiles. Certainly none of these apostles knew it. But God had an instrument in the earth now that hadn't existed before, and that instrument was the church. And God was now operating through the church, and he was moving away from Israel and out to the Gentiles. And God needed to let people know, he needed these apostles to be seen as what they were, authoritative. And therefore they did things that we just don't see today. Well, that's all we'll have time for now. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.